Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, January the 12th. A couple of things I want to get into tonight. President Biden went to Georgia. This is part of a campaign stop, and it has to do with this Voting Rights Act that the Democrats want to pass. At the moment, what is holding up the bill is Democrats. In order for this to pass, they need 60 votes, but they don't have all the Democrats on board. Obviously, they're not going to get any Republicans. So the filibuster is technically stopping this at the moment. Obviously, the president is not happy with that. The Democrats are not happy with it. And a lot of the Democrats' groups are not happy with it. So the president went down to Georgia, and two things happened. First of all, Stacey Abrams, who is probably at the moment the top Democrat, or at least the best-known Democrat in Georgia, decided that she was not going to join President Biden, which is pretty incredible. They said it was a scheduling conflict, which is pretty incredible, given that this is the president of the United States. I mean, what scheduling conflict could Stacey Abrams have? Now, if she was having a medical procedure or she was in the hospital, I can understand that. But she didn't want to be seen anywhere near President Biden. And that tells you a lot. It tells you a lot. In fact, I have a post about all of this Wednesday morning at the American Thinker. You can read it. It's called Stacey Did Not Show Up or something like that. I forgot the title, but something like that. Stacey Did Not Show Up. That's it. And it basically deals with the fact that Stacey Abrams and many, many Democrats did not show up to support their president and vice president. They both went together during this, from the White House perspective, it was a pretty important speech, but obviously it didn't work out that way. So that's the first part. They have problems within the party. The second part is the speech that President Biden gave. For a while, the speech was, didn't really say much until he got to the end. And he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, what are you going to be remembered for? Speaking to the politicians, I guess. He said, are you going to be remembered for being with Martin Luther King or being with George Wallace? Are you going to be remembered for being with John Lewis or Jefferson Davis? And that is so outrageous, the comparisons that he's bringing up. He's got a lot of people are reacting to it. A lot of people are reacting to it. Even Democrats are saying that's way over the top what he was saying. And, Mitt Romney gave a very good speech in the Senate the next day, or I guess that would be today, Wednesday, where he said, you know what, I'm disappointed with President Biden for doing stuff like this, to make a comparison like this. And Mitt Romney is an interesting character here because, he's kind of a centrist. He's not exactly a firebrand in the Senate like Ted Cruz or somebody like that. I mean, Mitt Romney's kind of a low-key kind of guy. And also, an important detail here about Mitt Romney and his father, back in the mid-1960s, Mitt Romney and his father, who was then the governor of Michigan, they marched with Martin Luther King. I'm not sure if it was in Atlanta or Detroit, but Mitt Romney's father was one of those many, many people back in the 1960s who marched with Martin Luther King at the time of the Civil Rights Movement. So Mitt Romney and many other people are hearing this and they're saying, wait a minute, what are you doing making these comparisons, Mr. President? Our disagreement with this Voting Rights Act has nothing to do with voting. It has to do with the fact that this act wants to federalize elections. And we don't believe in that. Not just we don't believe it. The Constitution doesn't call for that. The Constitution clearly states that the states are the ones who run the elections, not the federal government. We don't have a centralized, computer that counts the votes. We basically have 50 elections on Election Day for president and for the federal government, and of course the state elections. But we don't have a federal government running the election. We don't have that. That's not the American tradition. So anyway, so this speech by President Biden, I think, ended up hurting him more than anything else. And I believe it probably brought to an end any chance of this voting rights law or bill getting out of the House. Or, well, I think it did get out of the House, but that they just need a majority vote in the House, as you know. And they have, I think, a majority of 4 or 5 Democrats. So it did get out of the House, but it's going nowhere in the Senate because of the filibuster primarily. They don't have 60 votes to put it out to the Senate for a final vote. So, but I think, you know, you look objectively at this speech and you have to ask yourself, what exactly was President Biden thinking? What did he think he was going to succeed doing? Because I think he failed in every respect. He failed in every respect. Another thing, too, that is very important before we take a break. You know, all this talk about the filibuster, and I thought Mitt Romney was extremely effective in that speech that he gave. You know, the Democrats used the filibuster like 200 times against President Trump. They used it against President Bush, the second Bush, the first Bush, President Reagan. I mean, this was both sides used the filibuster. But nobody said, for example, that the Democrats were racist when they were using the filibuster against President Trump or President Bush. And on top of that, you have all these videos of Senator Schumer, even Joe Biden as vice president and as a senator, saying that the filibuster was necessary for the country. So, I mean, look, it's absolutely awful what is happening in this White House. And you get the feeling that the place is just falling apart, that there's a lot of stress in the White House. And that I'll say it again. I think the people writing these speeches have got to he's got to get different advisors, and he's got to get different speech writers, because nobody is helping President Biden right now. The stuff that he's doing and the speeches that he's giving, and that also applies to the vice president, nothing is working. Today, a poll came out showing President Biden at 33%. It doesn't get any lower than 3%, 33%, believe me. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto. Another big story of the day is the teachers' unions. It is amazing to me, but the virus, COVID, Delta, whatever the new one is, may have actually done more to promote school choice than any Republican policy or any Republican politician. You know, the Republicans have been calling for school choice since President Reagan, so that's 40 years ago, and it always fell short. And it fell short to a large degree because the teachers' unions were well organized. But right now, the country is really getting angry with the teachers' unions. Not the teachers. I want to make sure that this is clear. Nobody's angry at the teachers. I mean, I think everybody loves their teachers. At least that's my experience. You know, teachers are very popular. The union is the one that I think has become way too political. And that's not what the public wants. The public wants the teachers' union to be about teachers and teaching and classrooms. And unfortunately, that's not happening right now. So the teachers' union are under a lot of pressure. They're finally going to open some schools in Chicago, I think, where the controversy has been. But look, you got to get the kids back in school. That's my opinion. You got to get the kids back in school. You can take measures in different districts or different schools. If there's a problem, you can shut down for a couple of days. I'm okay with that. If some parents want their kids to stay at home, I'm okay with that too, you know, while the situation passes through. But you got to get the kids, most of them, back in school, because that's where they're going to learn, back in school, not virtually. Well, I have a post coming out Thursday morning about inflation. As you may have heard, inflation in December, the numbers that came in were pretty high. numbers that we have not seen since 1982. Now, that's important. That year is important. Because you may remember 1981, 82, 83, that we had a very bad case of inflation. And you may also remember that what the Reagan administration and the Federal Reserve had to do to bring down the inflation, they had to literally push the country into a recession, and the interest rates went up to 20%, the unemployment rate went up to 12%, and the net consequence of that was a very bad 1981, a very bad 1982, economically speaking. It began to change in the middle of 83, and then by the second half of 83, especially into 84, the economy was humming. The point I'm trying to make here is that the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, has just basically said that this economy does not need any more stimulus. So that means there's not going to be any money spent above and beyond what has already been approved. And what that means is that we're going to have a recession in 2022 and into 2023, because that's what you're going to have to do to take the inflation out of the system. So that's coming. And politically speaking, that's going to be another major problem for President Biden because, again, that's what you're going to have to do to control the inflation. You're going to have to go back to 81, 82, and what they did back then. You're going to have to do something similar. Slow down the economy, hit the brakes, push up the interest rates, and you're going to see the unemployment rate go up too. And it's going to be a hard recession, but that's the only way you take inflation out of an economy, as we saw in 81, 82, 83. So that's going to be more bad news for President Biden. A couple of quick things I wanted to point out. Veronica Spector. Now, if you remember that musical group, that girl group from the 1960s, the Ronettes, they had a big song called Be My Baby. They have lots of other songs, but Be My Baby was their signature song. But Veronica passed away today. She was 80 years old. Born in 1942 in New York and passed away today at age, 79 or 80. Veronica and her sister, Stelle, and her cousin, Nidra, put together the group, the Ronettes, who became extremely popular. Now, I think Veronica eventually got married with Phil Spector, and that's where she got the name Spector. That's not her original name. But Veronica Spector was the wife of Phil Spector, the producer, who had other stories too in his life, and we won't get into that right now. But the Ronettes were just an extremely successful group, a very popular group back in the 1960s, and they were still touring until here recently. Estelle, one of the sisters, passed away, but the three of them were touring when they were living about 10 or 15 years ago. Just an absolutely wonderful group, the Ronettes. So Veronica Spector passed away today at either age 79 or age 80. I'm not exactly sure. And on this day in history, one of the greatest football games of the 20th century, Super Bowl III. Now, they didn't call it Super Bowl III back then. Remember, they didn't start calling it the Super Bowl until later. But this was the AFL-NFL championship game. That's what they used to call it, where the winner of the AFL championship would play the winner of the NFL championship. This is the old traditional leagues. And they met in what we now call Super Bowl III, the Baltimore Colts, who were the super favorites, versus the New York Jets, who were sort of the underdogs. And Joe Namath, this was the year that Joe Namath was guaranteeing a victory. Well, darn it, he got the victory. The Jets beat the Colts 16-7, one of the biggest upsets in the history of sports. So as a consequence of that victory, the two leagues got together, and they created the new NFL, where the old AFL became the AFC and the old NFL became the NFC. And that's the structure that we have right now. But it all kind of came together. It all kind of came together after this game, because this game clearly changed everything. Super Bowl III, Joe Namath and the Jets defeating the super powerful Baltimore Colts, who at least that one day in their story were not very strong. They lost to the Jets. Great game. I remember watching it with my brother and my dad. Super Bowl III and Joe Namath. Everybody loved Joe Namath. He was like a very popular with young people back then. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.